It's a heartbreaking phrase that I love to death, and I've shed many tears over it. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me see it here. Okay. And the phrase isn't the title, but it's the meaning of the phrase that I want to try to drive home today. I hope it can be helpful. God mercifully and graciously allow it to be helpful. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, just look at the beginning of the phrase in verse 1, likewise. So that's like similarly. So he's grouping all the women together, the wives. It's a common thing with wives. It has to do with subjection. Likewise, ye wives. Now you jump to verse number 7, and he gives instruction to the husband. There's only one apostle that at least I know of that we're certain was married. Who was it? Peter. So he's writing from experience, you know, and he tells in verse number 7, likewise. See, that's the same use of it. It's referring to similarly, just like amongst the wives, amongst the men. There's a similar thing with subjection, and the man with dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And I think a lot of guys struggle with understanding that, well, you're supposed to submit to me, you're supposed to serve me, and not recognizing that Ephesians 5 describes the role of the man as being like Christ to the church, you know, and you follow that pattern, and he would expect you to submit to him, and the same with the woman to the man. And they miss that first half of it. It's not just submission and serving. It's giving everything to her to help conform her to the image of Christ, not to the image of you, to the image of Christ. And so seeing that, he said, dwell with her them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. That's that emotional aspect that, you know, women have something they have to carry differently than the guy. Now, this is the phrase, this is it, the rest of this verse is it right here. As being heirs together. And it has to do with an inheritance. And it has to do with joining the two together. So he's using this relationship, and he's going to, you know, tangent into, all of us can learn from it. And so he says, verse number 7, and as being heirs together of the, here's the phrase, the grace of life. And I've always read that, and I was like, why doesn't it say of the grace of God? He calls it the grace of life. He doesn't say the grace of God. And that your prayers be not hindered. Now, not understanding this shows there may be something wrong in the relationship, this joined relationship, that would hinder prayer. Because when you don't ask prayer for the right motives, it hinders prayer. James tells us that. And now he steps out, and I want to be able to apply this further to all of us, whether you're married or not. Because all scripture is meant to, is given by inspiration of God, is profitable to everybody. So he says, finally, be ye all of one mind. So he wants us all to learn from this, whether you're married or not, this concept of the grace of life. And of course, if you're a Christian, who are you joined to? Jesus Christ. So there's a similarity here, and him being the male figure in the relationship, recognizing our weakness, he deals with us very graciously. And that's the throne he sits on. It's the throne of mercy and grace. Now, this phrase, the grace of life, from an evolutionary worldview, you know, people have a lot of different meanings and words. They don't look at the word love the same as the word Bible looks at. The Bible talks about love. They don't think of death the same way the Bible speaks of death. An evolutionary worldview, this aspect of the grace of life is, it's definitely recognizing the gift and privilege and even the miracle of sorts of life, but they don't think of it the same way as us. How I perceive lost people, the worldview, an evolutionary worldview of the grace of life, this is what it is. The grace of life is existence. That's it. You know, whatever your lot in life is, you exist. That's an evolutionary mindset, because you came from chance and randomness, eventually you're just going to die. The grace of life is your existence. Boy, it's so much more than that when you're a Christian, man. You understand it so much more, so much stronger. And that your prayers be not. Now I want to look at it, and I call this message, because I believe if you understand this properly, the grace of life. Look, it just sounds beautiful. It's got like a beautiful butterfly, you know, with its wings fly so graciously. I mean, it's the most gracious of all the insects. But it's just got this beautiful sound to it. And I think of this phrase, this is what I call it, the grace of life. This is what I equate it, this is what I want to talk about. I call it the adventure, not an adventure. The adventure of a lifetime. The adventure of a lifetime. Because in my opinion, salvation is supposed to be an adventure. Not just because we're pilgrims and we're citizens of another world. It's supposed to be an adventure. And that's what we're going to look at today. And I hope, because to me, there's two components, two moments in time that I believe need to be joined together in a relationship with God that would help us grasp, at least the way I'm portraying this phrase, the grace of life, as the adventure of a lifetime. Jesus Christ, you know, talks about the thief comes to another way, tries to steal and kill and destroy. And he said, I'm come that you may have life more abundant. So, you know, and I give my life for the sheep. The shepherd gives his life. It's his life. The abundant life is his life. The victorious life is his life. The Christian life, it triumphantly, is his life. And so the grace of life is his life. But we want to look at it and understand it as this adventure that we've been, you know, called to be able to live. And to understand this, it requires, you know, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I have not seen nor ear heard, which has entered into the, you know, the mind and the heart of God. He sees so different than you and I. And it's like when the way we look at the world, the way the mind and the heart, the eye-mind connection is, we want to draw a comparison spiritually. Because everything you see based on the anatomy of the eye and, you know, refraction, all that, everything you see, the light's coming like this and it's going through, you know my pupil. And, you know, the pupil's the black part, you know, what opens and closes, the iris closes it or opens it, you know, the color of your eye is the iris part. You think that's your eye. And when you look at somebody, you look in their eye, but you look at their pupil. You don't focus on their, you know, the iris. You may see the color of it, but the eye, that's the window. The pupil is the portal. You use it the way it's supposed to be, you'll be a pupil. You'll want to learn and study the things that God created and his word and everything else. But you look at this and you begin to realize it, that the amazing eye only sees two-dimensional, and it takes this light, and it comes in like this, comes like this, and it goes, so what we see up on top comes through our eye, goes to the bottom. What you see on the bottom goes through our eye, to the top. What you see on the side, left side goes to the right side. What are you seeing? You're seeing everything upside down and right side left. Amen? That hits the back. It's like a screen. You open that up. The light comes. It hits the back of that screen, goes through our pupil, hits that retina, and that turns it into some sort of electronic impulses. And it's with thousands, millions of nerve cells in the optic nerve that's connected to the back of our eyeballs and goes right to our brain. These electric impulses, they go over here, and the brain interpolates. It's like, you know, that's supposed to be this way, you know, and it reverses and fills in the blind spots and the missing stuff, and it creates those two-dimensional, two pictures and makes it into a three-dimensional. That's where you get depth perception. And it flip-flops and makes the right, left, and the brain does it, has the ability to do that. And that's amazing, because if you don't have the mind of Christ, what he sees, you cannot see the right way. We reverse how God thinks, because we need his eye, the single eye, and we need his mind. Let this mind, so God sees our life so different. So the reason I'm saying that, because it breaks my heart, that I don't really, my own opinion, and I believe it might be something you would share, is that there is, the majority of my life is wasted. It really doesn't grasp the reality of the grace of life, which I'm telling you, it has to do with the adventure of a lifetime. It's what it's supposed to be, and we miss it, and I want to get a hold of it. When you think of adventure, what do you think of? Usually you think of things, you know, that are daring, that might be a mix of dangerous, that's always new, it's adventurous, it's new, it's things that are kind of out of your control, your comfort zone. There's a level of excitement. You might be afraid, or there's a challenge that you haven't conquered yet, a mountain you haven't climbed yet, something that's maybe hazardous or a wild experience, or traveling a far distance in these, you know, exotic lands, exploring space or oceans, or a bit of a daredevil element to it. Maybe you think of skydiving or zip lining as something that's adventurous. I feel adventurous. Or surfboarding, or making it to a point where you're at a championship game, or you're going to a college, you're graduating from a school or a military boot camp, or you're climbing a mountain, you're going to run a mountain. These are adventures, people get it. Racing a car, the adrenaline jumps up. You know, you're going to do a bungee jump, or rappelling off a mountain with a rope tied to you, rock climbing off a cliff, learning something new. It involves talking to someone new. That's like, it's an adventure. I never did that before. I never went to a Middle East country. I never ate exotic, crazy foods or saw the animals and the extents of nature and all its vast beauty. These are adventures to some extent we all have, just the desire to experience this because God made it all. He put within us the desire to discover. Realizing with that the desire to discover and learn, there are associated risks. Amen? I'm gonna ask for a raise. I'm gonna fix it myself. I'm finally just gonna do it. This adventurous spirit that we all have. Or for me, a big thing that was an adventure was public speaking. You know, how am I gonna do that? How God gonna get me to stating an opinion that's confrontational? How about just being you? That's something that's adventurous. Because you're like no one else. There's no one else quite like you. So there's an adventure in your life that's unique. Taking a group of people and interjecting conservative viewpoints, especially up here in the Eastern Coast liberal area of Connecticut, amen? Living in a world that's contrary, so totally contrary to the things of God. It's an adventure. It's meant to be an adventure. It's not meant for us to, you know, scurry a little way and be afraid and hide in a closet. It's meant for us to stand up and be bold and declare the greatness of our God with joy and peace, because we are able to put two moments together that involve adventure, and it allows us to see things the way God sees things, and we recognize our grace of life is really the adventure of a lifetime, because that's what you've been granted, however long you live. And so both these moments are summarized with pertaining to that you look at this group any way you want to collectively, you know, categorize it. It involves discovering something new. That's what adventure involves. It's something new. It's like, boy, wasn't it cool when you first came to church and saw this carpet down? Now it's like, you know, it's just white spots and black spots. But for the first maybe two Sundays, it was like, wow, that's great. Now it's like, oh, well, you know. Sooner or later, your new car is going to be, what a piece of junk. Sooner or later. But in the beginning, it's an adventure. Just to go for a ride. Why? Because it's new. It's like, man, I didn't know it. Look at the buttons it's got. It's got all these crazy buttons. I can do, woo, woo, woo. My seat goes 17 different directions, and I don't know what to do. So it's always something new. There's a discovery, but also associated with the adventure of a lifetime. Any adventure involves a risk, a danger. So we're going to put two things together. We're going to put these two things together to understand it as I'm presenting it. See how it applies to you and I with the eyes of God. Something new, a discovery. There's only one thing when it comes to the grace of life as the adventure of a lifetime that we squander. At least I do. There's only one thing you ever need to discover. And it's always new and anew. You rediscover, rediscover, rediscover. Amen. Say, what is it? Well, it's love. Look in the book of Job, I think it is, chapter 7. You know, I have little infants. They're at home. Their mama's strong and caring arms and everything. Insects are like, wow. It's like everything is a wow. They're tired by the end of the day because everything's just like, wow, and wow, and wow. And that's why their eyes are so big, and wow, one of the reasons. And they take all this in, and everything is just, they're absorbing it. Life is an adventure for them because it's new. It's a discovery, but they need to be secure in mama's arms. She loves me, so I can enjoy this adventure. What I'm suggesting to you is we lose sight. So much of the world around us and throughout the day, moment by moment by moment, we just squander the day when it comes to moments. And we're not secure in God's love right there with us as we're experiencing the grace of life intended to be an adventure, the adventure of a lifetime for you as an individual. We need to grasp this. It's in Job chapter number 7. I mean, what was it? J.R. Tolkien, didn't he write The Hobbit? Bilbo Baggins had that famous saying, he leaves and runs and dances away. I'm going on an adventure. What, to discover all kinds of new things and monsters and spiders and all kinds of crazy, you know, mythological beings. Brother, the Christian life is a life like none other. It's the best thing in the world to be saved, to be a Christian. And it's meant to be. Jesus Christ had come. Follow me. Where are we going? You'll find out. I don't want to tell you all the details because you might not follow me if I tell you all the details. Amen. But once you follow me and you follow me and I reassure you through every step of the way that I love you, you'll say, I'll keep following him. Why? Because he loves me. And it's like, wow, and wow. And that's what begins to happen as a child of God. He wants us to grasp this. This is the wow moment. How's God going to do this? In Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I do. I mean, David said it when he looked at the stars. What is man? Who in the world am I that you're going to give me the time of day? In Job chapter number 7, verse number 17. The adventure a lifetime. You say, what's that? You could put that right on your tombstone. I lived the adventure of a lifetime. It has nothing to do with, well, I rock climb. No. It's understanding these two moments coming together. Amen. The wow moment. The wow of all. There's no greater wow moment than what I'm sharing with you. Job chapter number 7, he says in verse 17. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? And that this is, Job is asking this about God. And he says, and what is man? And he says, and that thou shouldest visit him. What does he say? Every moment, every morning. Did you know when you woke up this morning that somebody was there to visit you? And that you probably, I hope I'm not being a false accuser, but you probably, because that would be Satan, I'm guessing, you probably didn't say, hi, God, but he was right there to meet you in the morning. As a matter of fact, he woke you up. He tickled your heart a little bit. You didn't even realize it. Amen. And look at this. This is amazing. That thou shouldest visit him every morning. And look, and try him what? Every moment. You understand, moments are less than seconds, man. You live about 100 seconds a day, like 80-something thousand. 100,000 seconds a day. Moments are way less than seconds. You're getting into the millions when you get into moments. You're getting something that's real tiny, amen? And so when Jesus says, I want you to, when he says this, and Jesus says, I want you to follow me, that's his beloved son. The Bible says in James chapter 5 that the husband is waiting, the husbandman, is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting. God says his eyes are one or two. I'm looking over, I'm looking for somebody that's relying on me, that's calling on me, that's needing me and believes in me and wants me to be right there with them so I can open their eyes In that moment, it's a wow moment. I'm telling you, it's a wow moment when God opens your eyes and you see His. And see things for the first time in your life the way He sees things. When I got saved, brother, that was a wow moment. I never saw myself as a lost sinner. I always thought I was kind of a good guy. Amen? And boy, that got thrown down into the dumpster after I got to know God. Amen? My goodness is all based on Him and who He is. But when He waits for the fruit of the earth, what's the first fruit? And when Christ rose again, He was the first fruit. This is my beloved Son. The first fruit in the fruits of the Spirit is what? Everything else follows. It's love. Keep love in your relationship. Everything else follows. In a marriage, in parenting, in your walk with God. So this aspect of love. And if I can just, God help me, if I could just get a hold of one moment in your life, maybe not right now, but sometime when you leave in the quiet moment of your life and you can grasp this, amen, that this moment has to join with this other moment I'm going to share with you, and because that's when you discover, He really loves me. Boy, what a discovery. To discover it every single day. Now, you live throughout the day. We're not conscious of God. We're not walking with. And yet, every moment, He's just looking. He's waiting for the first fruit. Amen? For the harvest. He says, I so want to show you what I see that you need to see. I so want you to learn. Amen? And it's like, you know, moments aren't like you take big steps. No, you got to take little steps. Then a little, and it becomes indivisible and invisible. Amen? That's what moments are, brother. And it becomes so fast and so small that the reality of the moment that God opens up your eyes and hits you like a fountain pouring out of a pierced rock, amen? Sort of like Calvary, amen? And you discover new and anew that that's God's love. I can't see it. It's so small, but man, it fills the universe. Glory to God. Be still and know. This is what He wants you to know. Be still and know. Here's the moment. Hey, you, sit down here. Be still and know that I'm God. Now, who is God? That I'm God. God is, fill it in. The Bible says God is love. Be still and know. Get over here. Who is God? Be still and know that I am God. Who is God? God. Be still and know. I've been looking. I've been waiting. Every moment of your life, they're flooding through the day, and you haven't even thought about me. You're so caught up in yourself, you've lost sight of my love for you. That's what happens to people in this world. You just exist. You're just going through problems or challenges or trials, and God's somewhere over there or up there, but hidden down here because you're not looking through His eyes. You're seeing the light waves. Backwards and sideways. You don't see the street now that Jesus is that light, brother. That's why He lets things happen in your lives. Why? Because He loved you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Adventure, anyone? Walking on water? Wow. How about walking on dry land? Did everybody follow me? Where we go? You know, gee, God, I thought you delivered us from Egypt. They're coming after us. Take that rod and hit the water. When? When I tell you to. Amen. In the right moment, God opens your eyes. I was there the whole time. Amen. Resting in a storm or rebuking and calming the waves of the storm, feeding the multitude or fasting on a mountain, being cast into a fire hole or building something that shades the heat from the head of the rebel Jonah. Fighting with a jawbone, victoriously, or shamefully repenting to God and pushing away the pillars. The same man. Amen. God didn't love him any less. He just forgot about God's love and saw his own strengths apart from God's grace. It's the grace of life. But when you understand it with these moments, you begin to discover something. It's an adventure. What an adventure. For one moment, just if I could just get one, just one moment out of the 100,000, 80 something thousand, just one moment where you could stop and push your life on freeze and realize that God loves you. What a thing, man, if you could just start that God, the creator of the universe, loves you, amen? Adventure, anyone? Adventure building an ark for 120 years or sitting inside that ark for, I don't know how long I'm going to be in this ark. Just enjoy the ride, amen? Because God knows and only God knows. Preaching and baptizing people, putting their head underwater, or preaching the same gospel, the same message, the gospel of the kingdom, and getting your head cut off, amen? Same God, same love, amen? You know, walking around a circle, what an adventure. Hey, guys, come here. I want you to walk around that city. And I want you to walk around, and that city, Jericho's going to fall after you do it 7 times. Wow, are you kidding me? You know, I ain't kidding you. I want you to do that. And they did that, and what did it just couldn't, except for one house. The house that had that red-pilled rope. You've been red-pilled? Had that red-pilled rope hanging down from the window of the souls that were inside of it. You've been red-pilled? Amen. God look in your eye. Did he see the red pill? Amen. Come, follow me. It's supposed to be an adventure. Walk with Jesus Christ through the crowd. Man, he healed people. Amen. He walked down mountains and up mountains and praised during the storms and praised after the storms. And, you know, he walked down lonely roads. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Walk with him. Follow me. Pick up, follow me. I'm going to bring you to my cross. Why? Because you need to be red-pilled, man. Amen. You need to get out of the matrix of this blue-pilled world and get born again. Not just of the water, but of the Spirit. And he does it by the blood Jesus Christ shed at Calvary. That's red-pilled, right, brother? Amen. That's what you need to be. He'll make the upside right side up, and the left he'll make right side right. Amen. He'll get you straightened out. Walking through the crowds, and you come. He said, look at me. Look at what I did for you. Why are you doubting? My? You know how we live our life? Like we're existing, and God is distant. We're just living our life. You know, he's somewhere over there, and we don't realize he indwells us. Hello? He's all around us. He indwells us. He watches us every single moment. He's just, I just need one moment. You give me that one moment, and kabam, I'll open your eyes. And you'll see something you've never seen before. The grace of life outpours through his broken heart, pierced through the sorrows that he died for our sins. Even if you reject him, he still died for him. Amen. A sin-cursed world. And he's, this is my love. It's an outpouring of love, brother. Amen. You've been red-pilled? I've been red-pilled. I've been born again because of the blood of Jesus Christ. To this day, that wow moment, I think about it. And I'll never forget the day I got saved. You don't have to remember all that. I just know the day I got saved. Grace is my story all the way from here to glory. It's the grace of life, not just the grace of God. And when you get saved, God wants your eyes to just focus on something the way he sees it. I've been looking at you in a way that you don't realize. But you're not looking at me. You're not focused on me. Amen? Every adventure has a discovery. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's discovering something new. It's an experience like none other. It's rejuvenating, refreshing. It's revival. God is real. The grace of life can't be transformed into the adventure of a lifetime unless they're first and foremost this wow moment. Discovering that God really, really loves you. Come on, brethren, you're not a pet dog or a stuffed animal. You're a soul made in his image, expected and purposed to be conformed to the image of his son, to live forever and ever and ever with him. And discovering this is wonderful, wonderful. You can't capture his love, but you have to allow his love to capture you. I read the story of a little girl, and she was, you know, with her grandpa. I mean, it's a grandpa kind of time of year, you know. And she's with her grandpa, and she's trying to capture this little butterfly and chasing after it. And she's looking all around, and she misses it, and she can't catch it. And look what I found. Look what I got. But it kept gracefully escaping the child's will to control it. Oh, I just want that butterfly. It's so beautiful, and I love it. She wanted to control it, but it had a will of its own. It eluded her in its way and in its time. And finally, the little girl gave up and was told by a wise old grandpa to just sit still and know God made that butterfly. It's God. Just let God enjoy what God made in his way and his time and watch the grace of that life-flying butterfly. Soon enough, it landed on her little shoulder. just like it did to Jesus at the baptism, and whispered, I love you. Come on, man, I'm sorry. I'm not saying I'm something special, but I am in the eyes of God. But I'm not saying I'm something special, but I am in the eyes of God. When's the last time you heard him say, I love you? When's the last time? You know why? Maybe because your life is just so inundated with the things of the world. You're not a Christian. No, but maybe you're just being so consumed with all the stuff, amen, that you don't realize that every single moment he's looking at you. He's waiting for those fruits, amen. You must be born again. And then when you're born again, he says, come on and follow me, amen. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 3. I'll show you this. We'll move on to the next point. Amen? It's always got, for there to be adventure, it's got to be new. Amen? A new testament, new birth, a new life, a new creature, a new home waiting for me in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. It's new, brother. It's all new. When's the last time it was fresh? Amen. I could eat Italian bread every day of my life if it wasn't so fattening. Amen. If it's fresh, it's new. It's new. I could eat the bread. It'll just tell me about Jesus every single day. I never get sick of it. Amen. I want to hear about Jesus. You guys get up and speak next week. I hope you talk about Jesus. Ephesians, he says in chapter 3. Because I don't want to hear how smart you are. I want to hear about the wisdom of God that found a way in just one moment of time. He changed my life forever. Glory to God. And yet throughout the day, work gets to me. Bills get to me. The IRS gets to me. The DMV gets to me. COVID has everybody getting sick of everybody. Amen. If you're not sick of COVID, you're sick of everybody. You're sick of everybody in the house with you all the time. Ephesians chapter number 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. That you can comprehend what the breadth and length and depth and height of this love is. To know the love of Christ. Look at this. Verse 19, Ephesians 3. Which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He says in verse 20, him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. That's his life. What's he showing us? What's he looking at? He just wants that moment. Do you have any idea how much I love you? Do you know what it means for me to create the universe? For me to come to this world as a human being in the womb of a woman? Do you have any idea? You and I would be like walking around dung piles all the time. Amen? Do you have any idea? All our righteousness is a filthy rag. Do you have any idea how much I love you? Just give me one moment. Just one moment. You sit aside somewhere and you say, God, I forgot. Dummy me, how could I forget? You'll forget again, but you just need one moment out of those 100,000 seconds in the day, amen? It's an adventure of a lifetime that God's going to drive home with me, that God's going to sit down and eat with me, that God's going to eat what you want. God, he's going to eat whatever you eat, amen? Amen? He's going to sit right down there with you. He's going to go to sleep when you go to sleep. He knows everything. This is just wonderful, this adventure of a lifetime. It's a refreshing thought that God would care that much about me. It's the wow moment that you and I need to realize. Just wait right there. I know you're getting ready to go into that fire hole, but in a moment, I'll be there with you. I know they're going to throw you in that lion's den. I got it. Just give me a moment. I'll be right there with you. I know you're going to struggle in giving birth, but just give me a moment. Be right there with you. He's right there with us, brother. Yeah, but my marriage, a job, my health. I mean, the Lord says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Everlasting love. We have no idea. We have no idea how good it is to be saved. I'm only asking, brother, for a moment. That's just it, brother. The world's going to pull you away. You leave. It's going to pull you away and make you forget in just one moment. God Almighty actually loves me. Loved me enough to die for me. And at that moment's important to recognize what an adventure, what an opportunity. The adventure of a lifetime isn't just a wow moment. It's got to join together because these wow moments are just waiting. How's God going to do that? Easy. Amen. Just like that, in a moment. How God's going to do it, easy. Just like, now how quick I got saved? Just like that. When God answers prayer, you know how quick he answers prayer? Just like that. When God parted the Red Sea, you know how quick he did it? Just like that. When God saved Daniel from the lion's den, you know how quick he did it? Just like that. It's in a moment, brother. Amen? But the next moment has to join with this wow moment. I call it the now moment. Amen? Now is the accepted time. Now. It's all about now. You get a hold of this. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. I don't even know what time it is. It's the adventure of a lifetime. I want you to see this. Because there's only one thing you'll ever discover. You say, what's that? That he loves you. It's an adventure when you remember he loved you. But with every adventure comes a risk. Here's the risk. Here's the danger. You only have one risk in your entire Christian life. Just one. You say, what is it? His word. See what I mean? Either it's true or it's not. The only danger you have, the only risk you're taking with your soul, is that book is true. If it's not true, you lose your soul. That's the only risk you have to do. The only risk in your entire Christian life is his word. That's the danger. That's the hazard. That's the going down, get ready to die in the bungee cord. I'm going, oh my God! Woo! You go right up again. Just like that, brother. Amen? Yeah, but you didn't die the first time. You're going back, oh my God! Woo! You're going up just like that, brother. When you do die. Because to be absent from the body is to be what? According to what? That's the only risk you're taking. The only risk you're taking is that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That Muhammad can't save anybody. Buddha can't save anybody. Mary can't save anybody. The Pope. Nobody can save anybody except Jesus, who alone can save anybody and everybody. That's the only risk you're taking. Amen? I thought, you know, you get in the car, you take your GPS, and you go the wrong direction, you turn the wrong way, and all of a sudden, a word pops up on your phone. This Cyrus thing, whatever it is. You say, what's it say? Recalculating. Take the wrong turn. Recalculating. Well, I thought Satan was our enemy, and therefore the risk involved Satan. Recalculating. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Well, I thought principalities and powers and high places, those are the ones we got. That's where the risk is. Recalculating. He spoiled them, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the work of the cross. Well, I thought the world that hates us is out to get us, and therefore the world is our biggest risk. Recalculating. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I just need one moment. The only risk you're taking is this true or is it not true? Is he God or is he not God? Is this his book or is it not his book? Brother, you put those two together and welcome to the adventure of a lifetime, brother. You'll never have it again the way you have now. This is the now moment. So when are you supposed to do it? Now, brother. I thought the heart of the old man's flesh is the heart problems of all. That's the biggest risk. Yeah, but I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Amen? Christianity is supposed to be the adventure of a lifetime. But there's dangers. Lots of dangers. The one risk, never mind the dangers, the one risk, because no matter how and where you fall or slip, the one risk is if you forget God's love, if you forget God's book. That is his book. Thy word is true from the beginning. Amen? Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now, the now moment. He will save you. He will save you. He will say, I just want one moment. That's all, God. I'm only asking you, please, sometime today, step aside on me. Oh, Brother John, you get on my nerves. Yeah, but just give me one moment sometime later today and say, God, I've forgotten about you. Amen? Here's some sayings about adventure. Don't just wait for the rain to pass. Learn to sing and dance in the rain. Then watch for the rainbow. Put the Christian spin on this, and you're reversing. You're in the straight and narrow. Many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. Sing like no one's listening. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching and live like it's heaven on earth. Amen? Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. The two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you found out why. And hopefully that's because you got born again. Adventure will live dreams, not fears. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened, Dr. Seuss. Well, we still can. Amen? The Bible says that all things that happen for a purpose and for a reason. to those that love God. He plans it that way. He has a reason for it. There's only one discovery. There's only one risk. Get out of your comfort zone. There's a risk. There's a danger. If you're going to live the adventurous Christian life, the adventure, there's going to be a comfort zone. You've got to get into God's comfort zone. Wherefore, comfort one another with this. You say, what's that? The rapture. In a moment. In a moment. Right now, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's going to be just like that. You know, they got all these stories about the biggest and greatest roller coasters, and I'm coming to an end. The biggest and greatest roller coasters that exist in the world, and they have the spins and the turns and the ups and the downs, and it's like, you know, they could get you sick as you get older, this, that, and the other, but the greatest roller coaster ride you're ever going to experience is the rapture. Here's the thing. It's only going to happen once. Amen. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And don't think, this is my belief, but don't think I'm necessarily wrong. Did the devil try to kill Jesus Christ before he was born, the virgin birth? Did he try to kill him before he was 2 years old? Well, here. Did he try to kill him and he had to go to Egypt? Didn't he try to kill him when he went to the Mount Temptation? Did he try to kill him all throughout his life? They wanted to stone him to death, throw him off a cliff, didn't they? When he went to the cross, he's right there. When he went to the tomb, oh, he got down to the cross. We better rethink this. Don't let him out. Don't let him out. Don't let him out. Amen? Don't you think for a moment the devil's not going to try to stop that rapture. He was there trying to keep the Egyptians ran after those Jews when they crossed the Red Sea. Tried to kill them when they went to the land of Canaan. When we go to Canaan's home, when we cross the Red Sea of the universe, don't be doubting the possibility he's going to be right there. Principalities and powers in high places. The dragon that dwelleth in the deep. You talk about a roller coaster ride. Amen? When the wow moment meets the now moment, that becomes the bow moment, because we're going to see with our eyes who is the only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what he's going to say to the devil? Sit down. Principalities and powers, get out of here. Amen? Exactly what he's going to say. Why? Because that's my God. This is an adventure. It's an adventure of a lifetime. You never want to lose sight of it. Amen. Life with Christ is a wonderful adventure. The beautiful thing about this adventure called faith is that we can count on him never to lead us astray. The Christian experience from start to finish is a journey of faith. It is a adventure. The adventure of all adventures. Amen. The wow moment joins with the now moment. And the first time in your life, we're going to look back and say, this is the biggest surprise in heaven when we get there. He really loves me. And that really is it. Here's the biggest surprise in heaven. It was true. It was all true. 84,000 some odd moments, seconds per day times 365 days per year times how many years you live. Just give me one. The wow moment with the now moment. And it will become the bow moment. Even today. Today. Now is the time. Today is the acceptable day. Amen. Say, what will happen? You'll bow down. You'll worship him. Amen. That's what I want to get for you. That's what I'd like to close with, an illustration. And a brief song. They have that thing. People in the world, they see those things so different. They have what's called the beer goggles. The more you drink, the more beautiful things look that didn't look beautiful. The more funny things look that didn't look funny and happy. Amen? We got grace goggles. Amen? We got grace goggles, brother. More Holy Ghost you got, more book you got. You just see things totally different. Amen? I don't see this world just as going to hell. I see me going to heaven. I just don't see this world being deceived. I see me being broken free. You say, what did God do to you? I just gave him one moment. That's all I want from you. One moment. There's so much to see in this world and the adventures of this world. And the people want you to think the adventures of, you know, the Rocky Mountains. Where they got those four presidents and, you know, you got the Yellowstone and Alaska and the icebergs. And, man, it'd be really cool to see, you know, polar bear is not in the zoo, and penguin is not in the zoo, and Eskimos, and I wouldn't even mind, you know, talking with some pygmies. It'd be really cool. All the adventures of life that you could have and you could experience, and I'm probably not going to get to them in this lifetime, but that's okay, because I got forever. How do you know that? One moment. He told me this, and I could say this with all my heart. I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen the many thrills and sights unfurled, but I have taken the journey of journeys for me up Calvary's mountain. There my Savior to see. I can say this with all my heart. God, help me sing it. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I've been to Calvary. Through the witness of his word, each day at Calvary, what a thrill of love divine. It's the adventure of a lifetime. Just to know that the Savior is mine. Lord, I pray that you would have blessed this lesson, encouraged those that need encouraging, lift up, kick away those things that would prevent your children from walking on the straight and narrow, stumbling over what they should be stepping upon. The opportunity and the privilege of this very short life, it is the adventure of a lifetime. And in whatever way we experience it, let us never forget those two moments that have to be joined together, Lord. The wow moment, and at any time, the now moment, so that we can bow our knee and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. In Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. Thank you, brethren. Well, brethren, thank you for coming to church. That's okay, brother. I just had a good time. Thank you, Lord.